Isaiah chapter 7. In verses 1 and through 9, we learn that the people of Zarahemla sent an expedition headed by a man named Ammon to go back to the land they came from, or the land of Lehi Nephi, and find out what had happened to the people of Zenith who had went back there to try and possess the land. And when they get back there, they find out that King Limhi, who is now the king, and he's the grandson of Zenith. And so then this is where we're at in that time when then Ammon goes forth to talk to the king and explain who he is. And in verse 12 it says that Ammon goes forth and bows to the king, which we learn later that Ammon is not a righteous man, or meaning that he more turns to the world. And again, in the world, he doesn't think there's anything wrong with bowing to a man. And we begin to see this, some of the foreshadowing of some of Ammon's problems. But Ammon's problem's not the big thing of issue here. The thing that's being brought out in this chapter is about the people of Limhi. And when they hear that Ammon, who has only came with 14 men, when they hear of him coming, they rejoice, and Limhi is all happy. He says, "Oh, now it's time for for us to be delivered." And so obviously they must have had been receiving some prophecy, and that they were going to be delivered, and because this small band was only assigned to them. And second, they must have had a great belief in Christ in order to believe that they could be delivered, or that Christ had the power to deliver them from this tremendous oppression that was all around them. In verse 15, they explain what their oppression is, and their oppression is that they are being taxed. Again, we have to ask ourselves, that is oppression, and if we write off, no, let alone all the other things, the interest you pay the bankers and all these other things, aren't these taxes? Aren't you paying these things for the right to, when you own a home, you're not given a home as inheritance, you have to pay interest on it. And so therefore, isn't this a tax for a right to them to get a home? When in these people's day, they were all given that as inheritance. And all I'm trying to point out here is that we are indeed under the same oppression. Then in 19, we hear how Limhi tells his people to get prepared to be delivered. And again, he has great faith that this delivering is coming about. And he tells them in verse 19 to put your trust in God. Again, it's not to put your trust that these men are here to give us the secret way, or that they're going to bring an army from Zarahemla or anything. But his trust is in God. And he tells the people that is the way that they will be delivered. Even though it's been prophesied and so forth, they still must do that. In fact, to be delivered, as he explained in 18, there has to be an effectual struggle to be delivered, which means that they are going to have to exercise faith and prove out their faith in order to be delivered. And faith in what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in verse 21, it says why they were brought into bondage. And it says that it was because Zenith, that was the original leader, was overzealous to inherit the land of his fathers. What does it mean, overzealous? Overzealous means he wanted to do it his way. He wanted it what he wanted. It wasn't because it wasn't even because of great wickedness or anything. It was because they did not follow the Lord. And we need to follow the Lord in all things and do exactly what he says, and we don't put our own rendition on it. We don't put our own desires in it. And this is the problem with Zenith, that even though he was a good man, he was still more interested in following his own mind and his own desires. Well, in verse 22, we learn the size of the tax, and the tax was 50%, and then we learn in verse 23 how they felt about the about that tax, and they said that now is not this grievous to be borne, and is not this our affliction great? Well, today our average tax for anyone in America is 50% when we add up all the different taxes. Now, if we have explained previously, we add up our taxes to bankers and everything else for the right to have a home and everything. It goes way over 50%. And yet we don't go around mourning because for some reason we've been duped so much by our lust for the world and the claim of what the world gives us that we suffer and bear that tax. But yet when people think about it, it pricks their mind and they don't like it. Well, this is the same way with why Zenith went into bondage, because they, you know, obviously in the beginning they began to pay taxes and they slowly went into bondage because they thought they were going to get this wonderful land and look at this wonderful land that the Lamanites owned and gave to them. And well, it's the same, just like the government. Look at this wonderful America you get to live in, and look at this land that we let you have and use and have that nice house. And everybody gives you all these reasons why they need to exercise extract these tremendous taxes and monies from you, but then for some reason we make the government a false god, and meaning that we think that they actually own the land and that we actually are giving money to some god, not just to some other man who then determines what to do with it and uses that a lot for his own benefit. Well, anyway, they go on to say what really led him into heavy bondage and the problems that they were then having, why it got so bad, and instead of saying, well, it's because the Lamanites are such terrible people and all that, they have the right understanding, and they say it's because they did not follow the Lord, and they actually not only was going after their own ideas like Zenith did, but that had led them finally into great transgression against the Lord. And in fact, they had finally went out and the people, meaning the leaders, but the people had been obviously in that same wickedness, and they had killed a prophet, even as we know to be Abinadi. And it says, why they killed Abinadi, and this is extremely interesting and needs to be studied, because it said he preached of Christ being a man, that Christ was going to, or that God himself would come down, or Christ was going to be a man. Now, when they preached of Christ, they told the actual story, and we have to say, well, why was this? What was this? Why were they so against Abinadi on this? Well, those who know what those who teach against the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented by the Book of Mormon and Joseph Smith, their biggest thing is this whole idea that of this old God maker thing. Who do we think? When we preach this, we act like God is going to come down and he's just a man, and we lower God below men, and we say, oh, all he is just a man, and they begin to get into a frenzy about this being blasphemy, and again in the Old Testament days, the blasphemy was sufferable by death because all the Ten Commandments were actual criminal punishments, and were considered crimes. So this is how we learn how they attacked Abinadi, just as they will today, meaning that they don't understand the true gospel or the true understanding of what we mean by being the literal sons of our Father in heaven. And I don't feel important to preach a sermon on that right here, but nonetheless they do use that, and that has been said to be the number one thing that is against the doctrine of the Book of Mormon and Joseph Smith, or the doctrine of Christ as presented by that, and is simply because this whole idea of lowering God like that and of the great blasphemy of it. And so we can expect that will be what will be used to kill the true followers of Christ in the last days. Well, it's not hard from the Book of Mormon too to read it and see how easy and fast we can shift over to being saved by grace and that's all there is just saved by grace, and we forget everything else that's in Scripture is really done by a lot of the Protestant world today. And naturally, when we do that, when they do that, then again, the secondary feature of that is that then men are in charge. And when we finally get into the story of Benadiah, we'll see more of that. And then it goes on to say that they're in bondage because that's what the Lord says will happen to those who are become filthy. And you'll have to live in filthiness. But then this bondage isn't just to be evil to you or to be punish you. It's to wake you up and stir you back up to Him. And if you have a righteous fiber inside of you, it will stir you up, as it did in this case. And so therefore it did stir up the people of Limhi, or the people of Zenophoth, however you want to say it. From now on, I think we'll call them the people of Limhi, because that's who we're going to continue to talk about. And it says, therefore, it says in verse 33, if you turn to the Lord with full purpose of heart and put your trust in Him, meaning that you have to turn back to Him with your full hearts, meaning your heart to do what He wants, do all things in Him, make Him your all. If you do that with complete purpose, and then you have to trust Him, then He will deliver you. Well, again, the word trust, meaning, okay, you have to do what He says, even though it doesn't seem reasonable. Again, it seemed very reasonable to Zenith to just run down there and take the take that valley. And so, again, as it says here, they've got to put their trust in Him and probably how He's going to deliver them. Well, it did say that it's going to stretch their faith, and it's going to be a bit of a struggle, and that's what the Lord does to ensure that you are truly trusting Him, and you just haven't made a deal, Lord, deliver me, and then I'll do something, as we often really say to ourselves. But again, when we say that, we want it done our way. But the way the Lord really works is He says, okay, if you want something, then you put your trust in me, and you do it my way or the Lord's way. And so, therefore, that sets that up, and we will later hear the complete story of how the people are delivered and what happens to them.